ITS Coffee Break for Monday, March 31st, 2008.
On this week's edition of the ITS Coffee Break, it's a quiet week during spring break, but Moodle 1.9 has released, Ken's back from DrupalCon Boston, and in tech news, we have some updates to some other stories that we've talked about in the past.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. My name's Ken Newquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And it's spring break.
It's so quiet around here.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. You know what? I love students and I love working on a college campus, but there is something really refreshing about a week of just pure unadulterated work.
No student stampedes to get into the library.
It's just...
No chit-chat.
Yeah. I feel like I've just motored through stuff that's... been lingering all semester.
Yeah, well, I certainly have been too. But anyway, I guess the first bit of actual honest-to-God news we have is that Moodle 1.9 has officially been released.
Yes, it's very exciting. So for those of you who are following along at home, we are currently running on Moodle 1.8...
4.
4. And 1.9 is the next point release, and it's a big deal.
Yeah, now they waited... Was it 5 months?
5 months.
Yeah, so they sent... Previously, when they've been releasing new versions of Moodle, they kind of went a little bit too fast. I think especially going from 1.6 to 1.7, and then 1.8 was fixing a lot of the stuff that was wrong with 1.7. So with 1.9, they really kind of put on the brakes. I mean, originally, folks, the release date for this was June of last year, I think,
yes,
according to the official timeline. And we were actually, if you go back into the podcast, we were talking about, well, if Moodle 1.9 is released, should we upgrade to it? Well, it wasn't a problem because it didn't come out for another 8 months. But anyway... This was a pretty good beta test. They went through and they seem to have cleaned up an awful lot of stuff. And I guess what we're geeking out most about is the new gradebook.
Yeah, so the new gradebook has been totally redesigned from the ground up. And actually Open University sponsored sort of that piece of the development. And good news for all of you faculty, you can now put in decimals to your heart's content.
That's right. You can. It's got all kinds of wacky grading stuff. I mean, you can choose to have in your grade book, you can set it up to drop the 20 lowest assignments. I don't know why you'd want to drop the 20 lowest assignments, but I guess if you have a whole bunch of them and you want to get rid of some, you have that opportunity now. So I think previously it was capped at like drop 5 lowest. Something like that. But the whole thing is you can set up your own custom scales. It's from everything I've read, if they actually match the spec, it sounds like it should be pretty cool, and it should deal with almost everything that people have been asking for. It will do exports to open document format, Excel, CVS, and some XML format, which I haven't had a chance to look at, and it will eat XML and CSV. So you should be able to dump it to Excel, make your changes, and then re-upload the CSV. Now, I don't think there's any plans to import Excel documents, but I could be wrong. We can go back and take a look at it. But what we're planning on doing now is basically installing it on a test server and starting to beat it up, see what's wrong, see what works, see, you know, how it all shakes out. The other thing is it's got integrated support for outcomes, although that seemed pretty bare bones when I looked at it.
Yeah, I think before. It probably hasn't been fleshed out, but the whole idea is that with outcomes, learning goals can be tied to course activities, those can be graded against. So we're actually piloting a program called Waypoint Assessment Outcomes, and I think Waypoint probably is far advanced as for what, you know, in comparison to what the Moodle one can do, but I'm glad to see that they're actually looking at this.
So. Now, other things, I believe, we'll have to see if this actually works, but I believe support for publishing and unpublishing news items, which is something that people have been asking for, right? It's not publishing and unpublishing assignments, which would be nice, but because I think that's one of the other things people wanted to be able to have do, right, is have sections become visible automatically.
Right.
So I don't think it's going to do that, but at least we're getting there. The other thing, tagging. as a core function of Moodle. So I'd be interested to see how this shakes out.
It will be pretty interesting.
Because, I don't know, I'm interested to see how, you know, it's going to interact between the course level and the Moodle level, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, that could have some unintended consequences, but we'll see how it shakes out. You know, that's the point we're at now, is playing with it. And then we'll be getting together with some other Moodle folks from some peer schools in June. So we'll be able to talk about 1.9 more then. Hopefully we'll have another Hack Doc Fest between now and when it gets released, so we can have a whole bunch of coders and instructional technologists come together and just really beat up on it. And our goal, if everything works out, is to have it ready for fall. And that will be much rejoicing. We should have a gradebook party. Right?
Yeah. I'm sure people would come.
New semester, new grade book. Woohoo.
So what else? Well, I guess in ITS news.
Yeah, I went to DrupalCon.
You just went to DrupalCon.
Me and Jason Alley. It was pretty cool. Drupal, for those of you who don't know, is the open source content management system that we use to power the ITS website and Soapbox, which is our campus blogging software. And we've been doing a lot of stuff with Drupal for, I guess, about 2 years since I've been at Lafayette. And it was really interesting to go to an official Drupal conference. And one of the things that was really cool about it was that it wasn't education focused, because Drupal is being used by a lot of commercial sites and nonprofit sites. And they were the vast majority of the people who were there. So, I mean, usually I go to higher education conferences, it's almost always, you know, peer schools or other people in higher ed. Here, it was just a huge hodgepodge. And it was fascinating to see the way that people were using Drupal and how well it scaled. So, like DC Comics is using it for their Zuba site, which is like I have to explore it some more. I haven't had a chance to sit down and read through it, but my understanding is it's basically an indie comic site where you can submit your comic, it gets peer-reviewed, and maybe they'll select one of those and publish it. But I think that's how it works. But in any case, it was pretty cool that DC was, you know, I know it's comics, but it's still, you know, it's a fairly mainstream institution, right? Other places that were using it were the Mozilla Foundation is using it for getfirefox.com. Barack Obama used it for his senatorial campaign. So not the presidential campaign, but for the senatorial campaign. A huge number of nonprofits were using it. A lot of bands use it for like the social networking aspects, like kind of like what we were using it for with Soapbox. Right. They're using it for their bands. And the other thing that I found really interesting about it, when we talked to some of the other educational institutions, there was a Birds of a Feather meeting where we could get together and talk, was how well it scaled. So there were people who were running 80, 90 Drupal sites off of the same code, which...
That's pretty impressive.
It's not too bad. And, you know, then, you know, we're sitting there in the keynotes, and they're talking about, you know, the folks from Google are there. Like one of the, I think it was like the assistant VP for Google, or maybe a VP of something for Google. I don't remember exactly what his name was. But the whole point, they had serious reps from Google there. And they had one of the developers from MySQL there. So it was pretty cool. And they're talking about like stuff, really geeky technical stuff about how Drupal works and how when you get to millions of users visiting Drupal, the kind of changes you need to make to the database, which... We're not going to have to worry about anytime soon.
Yeah, I think you can sleep easy that's not going
to
happen.
But it's kind of cool that it can scale that well, you know?
Absolutely.
That people are running sites where they have to deal with the problem of millions of people visiting their site and getting slash dotted or boing boinged or whatever. That's pretty cool. So all in all, it really got us jazzed about Drupal. I'm looking forward to spending some more time seeing what we can do with it, either upgrading Soapbox, maybe using it for departmental websites. I mean, it's all very speculative right now. But I think both Jason and I came back and said, wow, we knew it was pretty good, but wow, it can really scale. So we'll be giving it a second look. So we have some juicy news about Juicy Campus.
We do indeed. So we talked about this last week before?
Well, last week is a relative term because it's been about a month, but...
Well, last time we were together, we told you about Juicy Campus, which is basically just a trashy gossip site.
Right. For colleges.
For colleges. Well, they've hit the mainstream news.
Yeah, so they're getting sued by New Jersey, yes?
Yes. The state of New Jersey is taking them on a lawsuit, basically saying that they did not, basically, they didn't uphold their end of their own sort of policy.
Consumer fraud.
Consumer fraud is what we were going after, yes. So basically, they said that they wouldn't allow derogatory information to be posted on their site, but yet they had no mechanism by which people could report abuse.
And isn't the whole site really geared towards derogatory information?
It is. So, you know, the interesting thing is now I guess people are trying to look into how exactly Juicy News touted themselves to Google AdSense and I guess Yahoo Ads and things like that to get their funding. So
right, or to join the ad network, I think.
Right, the ad network. So anyway, the site, some people said recently, like within the last few hours, that the site was down, but we actually were able to get to it.
But they had a little ticker across, say, we're upgrading our site to support new features.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with
it. So I think they're just doing the whole CYA thing. But,
So I think the site will be down soon.
I'd be surprised if it stays up for very long, but I don't know. I guess I'm assuming that they're probably having traffic problems right now if we can actually get to it.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to have some serious lawsuit issues at some point. So
yeah, but you know, it's just really, it's one of those cases in point where, you know, the online, the law hasn't kept up with what goes on online. You know, I mean, there was that case recently, the middle schooler, right, who committed suicide because of posts that were made to her MySpace or Facebook or whatever. And, you know, in this case with Juicy Campus, I mean, the issue is that libel, because all these posts are anonymous, you don't know who to sue for libel.
Right.
So it's just sort of one of those cases where we really just need to go back
and look
at the
law. Flip side, they're hoping to protect themselves from the law that says that, you know, a site can't be held responsible for the content that's on it.
Right.
Which you don't necessarily want to erode those protections because there's other sites that are more legitimate that you don't want to get sued out of existence for the same reasons. You know, somebody posts some hateful propaganda to YouTube. Should we take down YouTube? Yeah, it's raises some very interesting issues, and it's certainly getting a lot of heat now. So I'll be interested to see how it shakes out. Now, after the Virginia Tech tragedy, I can't believe I can't remember when this was now. Was that last year? God, I can't remember now.
No,
was that just earlier this year?
I think it was just earlier. It was like
this is horrible.
Earlier this school year, right?
Anyway.
At any rate.
That's not the point. The point is,
students are not signing up for the text emergency response systems that campuses are putting into place.
Right.
So, you know, people were doing it before that happened, but, you know, everyone sort of thought most schools after that scrambled to put a system in place. I know that Lafayette did as well, right?
Right.
So the only trick to that is that people then have to go sign up their cell phones in order to receive the messages.
Right.
But even at Virginia Tech, only 1 in 4 students is what I read.
Is that right?
Or 4 in 10.
I thought it was 40-60. But in any case, it wasn't as many as you would think.
Absolutely not.
You would think after, you know, something like that happens at Virginia Tech, you'd expect like 80% or 90% of people to be involved in it. And they were basically in this Chronicle article, they were talking about how a lot of campuses were seeing similar rates, you know, 20%, 30% were signing up for it. And I guess the comeback to that was, well, what percentage do you need in order to get the word out? So if the 30% of people who signed up get the text message, could you hope that they would be able to alert the people who are around them and you would, you know.
Right.
So you don't necessarily need 100% coverage in order to get, you know, adequate coverage. But I don't know.
It's a good point.
I mean, it is a good point. I don't think 20% is going to cut it.
Right.
But I think, you know, if you got 50% of your student body to do it, then maybe you have a better chance, especially if everybody's cell phones start going off during class. But, so it's just an interesting statistic. And I think it's just, I don't know, it's kind of hard to reach people when they, you know, you're forcing people to sign up for something, which, who's beeping now?
Sorry.
Oh. And no, that wasn't a text alert coming over, guys. But anyway, so it was just interesting, and you know, it's an emerging technology, so I think it's something we'll certainly be keeping up with. Now, on a related note, there is another story in the Chronicle talking about Twitter and how professors and students are using it. So the basic gist of this article was, I guess, Twitter being adopted in the classroom and how some hands-on responses from professors as to how it got used. So one professor used it and had everybody in his class use Twitter and post updates. And I think the general response he got was that it kind of brought the class closer together because they had a better sense of what was going on. And, you know, kind of, I think the thing about Twitter is it has a tendency to create these little social networks, and it's kind of nice to get those little updates from people.
Right. But then some students are saying, I don't want updates from my professor. I want to be left alone outside of class.
Right.
So that, you know, that's sort of the hard...
And I don't want to pay for these text messages. And,
right.
Although I think that there are, I think that was one of the things that I thought was a little odd about the article, was that they were focusing so heavily on twitting and
with
cell phones. I don't know if that's how most people use it. I mean, I think most people that I know who use it are twitting through web browsers and specific things like Twitterific on their computer. But then again, you know, students would probably be more
mobile
on a cell phone than I am.
Right. Well, I'll see. Everyone should just get an iPhone and then...
Yeah, there you go. But it was an interesting article. The other thing that they mentioned about there was, I think, how we use it a lot, which is to kind of keep up with colleagues, see what colleagues are doing. I know that I have a lot of friends who are on it, but I also have peers at other schools who are on it. And it's nice to, you know, have people, you know, they're twitting about some problem that they're having with Moodle. I can get right back to them about it. Or... they found something cool, so they tweeted to the group, and it sparks a conversation. So, obviously, these are short conversations because they're only 140 characters, but I found it useful from that just kind of spontaneous networking, spontaneous sharing kind of thing. So, in help news this week, we've got a new extension that instructional technologist Jason Alley turned me onto. It's pretty nifty.
It's called PicLens.
PicLens, yes.
PicLens.
And the idea here is that if you go to a PicLens enabled site, and I think
Flickr
is the probably the biggest site that people would use this with. If you go to a PicLens enabled site, it basically creates this wall of photos. And then you can quickly browse past this wall and see all the photos in the collection simultaneously. So it's just like, I mean, imagine, you know, the wall in your room is now covered with photos and you could just scroll on down. So if you're looking at a Flickr set of 100, 200, 300 images, it's pretty cool to just be able to kind of go sailing down through this wall of pictures.
Yeah, it's pretty beautiful.
And it's done in 3D, so it's got like some mirrored effects, and it looks really cool. And I think the thing that impressed me about it was, you know, a lot of times people talk about using, you know, visual metaphors to navigate information. That was the whole thing with cyberspace, right? That with cyberpunk was that, you know, you would have all these information structures and you'd be able to interact with them through the cybernetic web, but it turns out it's easier to pull up a web page. But this is one of those cases where it's really actually easier because it's so visual to have all these pictures in front of you and just go sailing by them and say, oh, I like that one, browse back and then click on it.
So this is a Firefox extension, right?
Right.
So you need to actually download the extension and then you get a little icon up in the top right corner on the toolbar and it lets you sort of go into this flow mode.
It was really nifty. A lot of people at DrupalCon were using it. And they were putting it on up onto the really big screens, and they were showing you all everybody's photos that had been tagged in Flickr from DrupalCon.
It's very pretty.
It was very, very pretty. So if you need to impress your students or your parents, I would go and download PicLens.
Absolutely.
That'll about do it for this episode of The Coffee Break. We're always looking for feedback. You can send us email at itsblog@lafayette.edu.